Well, in thinking what I would do for my last sermon as a pastor here, I won't say my last because one never knows. Inspiration comes from God in a lot of different forms. And today my inspiration came from a conversation with a good friend and mentor. In that little conversation we had some time ago, he said, Kim, words are all we have. They are so very important. Well, that stuck with me, and I've been giving it a lot of thought. So today, this is a bit of a retrospection on my part, what God has put on my heart. So I like to tease. I know many of you who know me, that may come as quite a surprise. But as I thought about it, sometimes my comments have been taken wrong. And sometimes I have meant more than a lighthearted jab. I have pointed my comments to pierce like an arrow. For shame. I have had to make many apologies. And I have prayed for forgiveness because I had used words to hurt. We speak our thoughts and our emotions. With words, wars are started. Words can also destroy. They can tear down. They can obfuscate. They can denigrate. They can be cruel. They can be hateful. And they can be downright ugly. However, words can also create. They can build up. They can edify. They can glorify. They can worship. They can be kind. They can be loving. And they can be beautiful. Words are important to us. They were used to create, and they are used by us to interact with one another. Many phrases and idioms exist telling the power and the influence of words, such as written by the English author Edward Bulwer Lytton in the 19th century when he penned, "The pen is mightier than the sword." We all have heard this and understand the power of words. Words can exceed the power of any weapon. Emily Dickinson, American poet and author, also understood the power of words when she said, "I know nothing in the world that has as much power as a word. Sometimes I write one, and I look at it until it begins to shine." Socrates, the ancient Greek philosopher, wrote, "The beginning of wisdom is the definition of terms." Words can carry many meanings. And if not properly defined in context, they will create havoc. When words are put into context, they can sometimes carry humor mixed with truth, as in what Ronald Reagan, the 40th president of the United States, said when he wrote, "The most terrifying words in the English language are, 'Hi, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.'" Many a shrewd word is spoken in jest. Just because something is said as a joke, it can still be true. Words can make us laugh, cry, be joyful, or sad. Words affect us in many ways. Words have the power of life and death. The scriptures are full of warnings and teachings about our use of them. So I went and did a search. A search in scriptures that relate to words, speech, talk, and tongue. There were too many to count. I ran out of fingers and toes. The Bible talks extensively about how we conduct ourselves with words. So this morning, I'm going to look at some of what the Bible teaches us about words. First, let's turn to Genesis. "And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." God spoke the world into existence. He created with words. Is it any wonder that there is power in the words when that is how we started out? with a word. Words have power. Words hold the power of life and death. Words can lift up and they can tear down. Solomon, the author of Proverbs, said, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." What people say can lead to life and death. We have all heard the idiom, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, and names, words, will never hurt me." Well, I remember saying those exact words when I was a young man, to try and convince myself of its truth in the face of painful words thrown my way. As I'm sure many of you have throughout your lives that have been faced with some verbal abuse of some kind. Unfortunately, it is far from true. Words can hurt. Verbal insults, verbal abuse, and the power of words to affect our emotions and actions are well demonstrated in life. We have to look no further than the latest news on bullying amongst tweens and teens, in which there have been a number that have committed suicide as a result of words said or written that are meant to hurt and to denigrate the individual. The environment we live in today with social media has opened up these insults to the whole world. We are not just little islands anymore, but now we can increase our influence with words across the globe. And those who are slandered are hurt. And I think those who perpetrated the slander, some unfortunately, will realize the destructive power in words and will continue to use them that way. But others will repent and realize the wrong and not use words to hurt. The Bible teaches not to use words for destruction, but that words have the ability to comfort, lift up, console, and strengthen an individual. It is our responsibility as believers to listen and offer comfort to those in need and bring the good news, to build up and encourage the downtrodden. Kind words not only lift our spirits in the moment they are given, but they can linger with us over the years. You only have to look at your own life. I remember years ago, I was going through a very difficult time. I remember the false accusations and the outright lies said about me. But I also remember the kind words of family and friends who supported me, encouraged me, and gave me wise counsel. They helped me keep things in perspective. They spoke well of me. They built up a broken man by their counsel and prayer. Many of us probably can remember kind words and encouragements from a pastor, a teacher, a friend, or a mentor sometime in our lives. Encouragements that influenced us and have stuck with us, and that serve to bless our spirit as we recall them. We must perpetuate that type of example. Words do have the power of life and death, so we need to be wise on how we use them. Another scripture that teaches us to be, what the scripture teaches us is to be thoughtful with our words. I believe the idiom here is to think before you speak. Again, we'll look at Proverbs 17. And Solomon tells us, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." He goes on in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2 to say, "Do not be quick with your mouth, do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven, and you are on earth, so let your words be few." Wise counsel from a wise man, to show restraint before speaking. I was reading an article in some of the management training that I have been doing in the last number of years. And the article was to help correct rash behavior and to be more thoughtful when you speak. because you get into those tense times when conversations can go down a hole sometimes. It outlined 10 points to practice that I will share with you here today. First, it said, observe yourself. Take note of when this happens to you, when this rash behavior happens. What circumstances led to your saying things that later you wish you had said differently? Next, it says, recognize your situation. After you determine the circumstances that might most likely be produced this unwanted effect, try to be very observant about it when those conditions appear, and then take action. Third, it says observe the conversation. Now that you're in one of those situations, the goal is for you to process the information. So think. Four, it says observe the people. Who is speaking and how do they communicate? People communicate in different ways. Some are very literal, some use examples. Five, formulate responses. Not just one, but consider all your options. There are many different ways to say things. And your goal here is to find the best way to convey that and say it that it has a positive impact. Six, consider the information. Is what you want to say effective, necessary, accurate, timely, and appropriate? Seven, gauge the reaction. Is the information you're going to present formulated in a way to make a positive impact? Eight, be thoughtful about your tone. How you say it in many ways is as important as what you say. Tone of voice can convey enthusiasm and sincerity, or it can rebuff and show sarcasm. Lori was mentioning to me that she was reading on the article this morning on one of the universities in the States, or Australia, I believe it was, who have banned sarcasm on campus, which is a whole different topic. And as most people have experienced, what we say can be taken the wrong way if we use the wrong tone and are not careful with that. Nine, communicate. You know what you'll say and why it's effective, necessary, accurate, timely, and appropriate. Wait for the appropriate break in the conversation and then speak. And the 10th point was go back to step one. Observe yourself. I think these people have missed a step when I was looking at it, and it's the dreaded eye roll. I think that one needs to be in there. I've gotten myself in the hot water with that one. But I believe this article lays out sound common sense principles for thoughtful speech. Points that the biblical authors would agree with and endorse. But as in all training in the secular world, it is missing important biblical truths. So let's look at some of those. Paul in Colossians says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Here, Paul lays out very similar advice to what this article laid out. The main difference in Paul's context, Paul is urging the Colossians to first devote themselves in prayer. As we read earlier in that chapter in verse 2, when he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. After they have devoted themselves to prayer and have incorporated that in their lives, then you are in a much better place to have thoughtful, gracious words with others. If we are having words with our Lord on a regular basis, prayer, giving thanks and paying attention to how God is working in our lives and that of others, then it is much easier to be thoughtful and gracious in our conversation with others. And that the article doesn't mention. Still another thing that Scripture teaches us, our words need to match our life. The idiom here is, actions are louder than words. Jesus taught in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 when he said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Jesus shows that you don't just glibly say things, but it has to be backed up by our life, living out our faith and belief in God. Statements that lack faith, hard work, discipline, preparation, and commitment will be seen for what they are. Saying things is action-oriented. Our words as Christians are constantly being examined and compared with how we live our lives. If you say, "I'm a follower of Jesus," and then treat people poorly and speak down to people with disdain and rudeness, then people will not believe us. We must have a level of consistency in what we say and how we live over a period of time. We can't talk one way and have our actions show the exact opposite. How we speak and how we live should be in sync. I have been with people that speak eloquently about love, peace, and joy for our fellow man. And the minute they are interrupted, wronged, or some way put off, they lash out. The way they speak is inconsistent with how they live, and people notice. They notice that our words don't match our life. This is always the first thing noticed by my non-Christian friends and family. That level of scrutiny happens. And I know they are watching. And they should see a life over the long term that is consistent. However, they will also see a person with scars and flaws, and one that stumbles, but one that believes and lives by grace. For there was only one perfect man to walk this earth, and it wasn't me. James says in chapter 3, "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." We walk in the Spirit each day. We grow over time into the person God wants by obedience and faith. None of us will be perfect instantly, but the journey is one of growth in a life filled with prayer and obedience. It is about learning and the willingness to change our behavior as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. There's a humorous story I was reading on the internet during the Civil War, American Civil War, when the Confederates and the Union were fighting one another. And there was a man who was sympathetic to both sides. He lived in a borderline state, probably somewhere on the Mason-Dixie line. And one day he would side with one and the other the next. So he decided, "Oh, let's compromise here." And his compromise is he would wear a Confederate gray coat and Union blue trousers. Very stylish. Well, you can imagine, things went well for a while until the battle became fast and furious. Then the Union shot him in his gray coat, and the Confederate shot him in the seat of his pants. Well, the moral of that story is we've got to be dressed in a matched uniform. Our life of faith and our self-talk have to match up if we expect to receive from God. We need to work on retraining our self-talk to speak words that bring good fruit and a good harvest and live them out. James goes on to say in chapter 3, 9 and 10, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursings. My brothers and sisters, this should not be." If ever there was a scripture that didn't need any further explanation, it might be this one. This should not be. Our words and our life need to be a match. Well, the last thing I want to mention this morning that Scripture teaches us about words, sometimes we need to be silent and listen to the words of others. Again, we'll turn to Proverbs chapter 18, and Solomon tells us, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. The Italian friar of the 13th century, Francis of Assisi, said, preach the gospel, and at times, and when necessary, use words. The American author, educator, and keynote speaker, Stephen Covey, he wrote, most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. Think about that one. We need to listen to the words of others with the intent to understand and empathize. We need not be so quick to try and formulate a response to solve a problem and pat ourselves on the back. In some situations where we don't have the words and people do not want to hear the platitudes or superficial Christian idioms, we should just listen. And that is okay. We are often quick with our words. Sometimes it requires a patient, non-judgmental ear, accepting the person with all their warts, scars, and flaws, the way God accepted me and you. Who hasn't had a friend or colleague who has come to seek your counsel, but you quickly realize that it is not your counsel they want, it is your ear to bend. They want to vent in an environment where they feel safe and loved. You may encounter a grieving friend, and you do not have the words, and anything you say could sound trite. Sometimes, just by listening, you can help people reason with themselves and deal better with their emotions and grief. And the most important of all, it gives you a chance to hear the person's perspective of their problem or situation, and then you are able to pray for them when you go to talk to God in prayer. For God never tires of hearing from a sincere heart in prayer, and that you can be sure. My wife is she's very gifted at many things, and listening is one of those gifts. I'm often amazed by this gift. One time we were on a plane a few winters ago, and we were unable to sit together on the flight to Minneapolis. But we were across the aisle from one another, which is just as good. And she was sitting with a young guy, and he was 20 years old. And they were in conversation, and she attentively listened as he told her his life story. And when the flight attendant came around to take our orders of what we wanted to drink, the young man boldly said, I'll have a vodka and orange juice. Now, I don't understand all the intricacies and cultural norms for drinking alcohol. However, you have to know this was a 6:30 a.m. flight. And I do know this is not the appropriate time for that. Be that as it may, the flight attendant showed no surprise. She just simply asked him for his ID. He didn't turn 21 till August. So he felt a little embarrassed, needless to say. And Lori, she didn't miss a beat, didn't flinch or further embarrass him, but gently expressed her surprise at the rule of 21 on the flight and redirected the conversation back to talking about him. Some people are gifted with the gentle spirits and good listeners, and others, not so much. I guess that's why God put her with me. The point is that sometimes the words we use are mainly words that allow the person to express themselves in a free way with no condemnation or judgment. Sounds exactly how I remember the gospel preached to me when I became a Christian. It made it easy for me to present myself to my Lord and Savior with all my scars and flaws and lay out with absolute honesty and openness my life without fear and receive his promised amazing grace and mercy. Words reflect what we believe or not believe. There is no guarantee anyone will ever completely understand our words. And we know from experience how easily they are misunderstood. Our immediate listeners typically understand because they share a context. But otherwise, words and their meaning can be slippery and difficult to pin down. I'm reminded that Jesus taught that our words and how we use them matter a great deal. He said in Matthew 12, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So this morning, where do your words fall? I know I have spoken words that were not seasoned with salt or thoughtful. I know I need to speak words that will set me free. And I know he will guide me and direct me if I will allow him. It is important that we use words with respect for others as children of God. We must continually keep in mind, one, words are powerful and have the ability to tear down or build up, to create or destroy. Thoughtful and appropriate consideration needs to be used when we speak. Our actions and our character should line up with our words. And at times, we need to be silent and hear the words of others. The Holy Spirit is continually teaching me to use my words to speak life. It seems today things are filled with doom and gloom all over, and we are used to saying things like, "I'm sick and tired, I'm broke, I'm poor, I'm a loser," or other such things. But no more. We need to remind ourselves that we are indeed children of God, and we are planting better seed for a good harvest and good fruit. So let me leave you today with a challenge to practice the spiritual discipline of guarding your words and seasoning it for the furthering of his kingdom. I invite the worship team back. Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this morning, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would just fill us with your knowledge and your wisdom, Lord, and your patience and your love and your joy and your gentleness, Lord. Lord, that we can go from this place, and as we interact with others and we use our words, Lord, we use them to further your kingdom, Lord, and encourage those around us, Lord, and to build up rather than tear down. Lord, to encourage. Lord, to love. Lord, we pray that you would continually work in our lives as we walk daily with you and converse with you, Lord, that we would take that conversation and use it for the rest of our lives in all that we do and say. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.